I'm really glad that that we have chosen, or actually been encouraged by someone who ever turned it in, to talk about the Beatitudes, because it gives such new light. I mean, it's something that we come back to again and again and again as we go to the Sermon on the Mount, but we always seem to find something new, and I'm finding things new every time. Again, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount with these Beatitudes, and when he did this, he was calling certain people blessed or happy that normally everyone would call unhappy. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are they that mourn. And happy are they that mourn. Happy are the poor. And in this today's message, blessed or happy are the meek. Those who are lowly in heart, gentle. Not the aggressive and go-getters, the ones that are climbing on top, climbing to the ladder to the top, and stepping on everybody as they go up, but the meek. Now, these first three qualities, or first three attitudes, have qualities that are tied very closely together. I shared this in the first message about the poor, but listen, the poor, being without resources, are subject to oppression. And when oppressed, they mourn, or they grieve. Okay, so the poor, they're mourning, those who mourn. And because they are poor and they are oppressed and mourning, then they must rely upon God alone for help. And so they take on a meek attitude. Those three are very closely tied together. And I really am starting to believe that when Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount and he began with these Beatitudes, he was preparing them to say, the whole sermon must be about you. It can't be like, oh, those are the meek people, those are the poor people. No, we must be all of these things. And so, as we go through this, and I don't know, I haven't talked to Terry about this, but as we go through this, it looks like we're not talking about a certain attitude that some people shine with. We're talking about something Jesus wants all of us to have. Well, this meekness says, I will rely upon God. I will rest in God, and God will take care of the rest. God's going to handle everything else. My job is to just rely upon Him. That's what meekness. So God calls this meekness blessed or happy. He plans to populate His new heaven and new earth with these types of people, because He says they shall inherit the earth. They will be these meek people. That should be us. So we need to know how to be meek. And I think this sermon will help us with that. First of all, what does meekness mean? What is the meaning of meekness? And that is a hard thing to determine. Most people say it's just humility. Excuse me. But it is more than humility. It is more than just a humble attitude. It's this attitude that relies upon God, that just rests itself in God. Now, there are some biblical examples, and sometimes Bible examples are some of the best ways to define something or get the meaning of something. So we're going to look at the meekness of Moses in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Now, Moses many times faced opposition and faced personal attack upon his person in various ways. It tells a story in this passage about Miriam and Aaron, which are his brother and sister, speaking out against Moses for marrying a black woman, a Cushite or an Ethiopian. And in verse 3, it says, when this happened, they were confronting him. Now Moses, the man Moses, was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. Well, that's a pretty meek person. It's also Moses writing this, I think. It's one of the books of Moses. So he recognized that he was meek, but he's not the only person that says, I am meek. Jesus said that too, but Moses said that he was meek. He wrote it down. He didn't know anybody meeker than himself. And this is the definition of the meekest right here, because when they attacked him, he didn't say anything. He remained silent. And God intervened. And God came to his defense. And Miriam ended up being rebuked, and Aaron rebuked, and Miriam ended up turning into a leper for a week. And God healed her. But the point here is that the meekness, Moses did not defend himself. He relied upon God. He waited upon God. He waited upon God's vindication. And meekness, rather than retaliating, or rather than contending for itself, trusts in God's vindication. And whenever that happens, whenever we are facing injury or facing unjust persecution or whatever it is that we're facing that is not right, it's a wrong, we are being wronged, their meekness relies upon God for defense. Now, Jesus also manifested this. In Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 29, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." There is so much in that verse about meekness and why Jesus said, "Follow me in it. Take my yoke upon you." Well, who wants a yoke? You know, only beasts of burden bear yoke. At least in the Bible, only beasts of burden bear yoke. And when the word yoke is used in relationship to humans in the Bible, it's always about oppression. It's always about oppression and throwing the yoke off of our from someone that has placed a yoke of slavery or a yoke of oppression upon us, or persecution, or our oppressors, and throwing off the yoke and getting free from the yoke. Well, Jesus is saying, "Take my yoke. Take my yoke." This is very, very interesting. Well, by incarnation, the second member of the Trinity became the Son of God. A Son, and God the Father. Now that's hard for us to understand. It's a mystery. In the mind of God, that was throughout eternity, as it says in the Creed. That was throughout eternity. But it happened for real on the earth when Jesus became the Son. The Son. He was always equal with God. Now he was putting himself in a Father-Son relationship. We don't know. There probably had always been that interrelationship among them in the Trinity. But we know for sure that that's what it's called now, the Father and the Son relationship in the Trinity. And that's forever. That's a choice that Jesus made to submit to that for eternity. And that's an amazing thing. Well, God knows throughout all of eternity now, God knows what it's like to be in submission to God. Now, isn't that interesting? God calls us to submit to Him, but He also knows what that is like, because God submits to God in the Trinity, in the Father-Son relationship. That's an amazing thing. So Jesus knows what that submissive, relying upon God attitude is in the Trinity, and knows it now because He's experienced the meekness of living upon the earth and submitting to God's will. Although He is God in the flesh, He was submitting to God's will. Now that is an amazing thing. But Jesus wants us to have that same attitude. And so Jesus, if we want rest for our souls, which we all want, He asks us to take upon His yoke of meekness so that we can be blessed. Blessed, happy, in this way that He's describing. The yoke Jesus bore was His persecution, was His crucifixion. But like Moses, when he was suffering, he did not retaliate. When he was attacked, he did not speak back, he remained silent. But he did speak up and contend against injustice. He did contend that. When he was slapped unjustly by one of the officials at his trial, Jesus spoke up and said, "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" He rebuked that person. He made that person face up to the truth and justice. And that person didn't do anything after that. He had nothing to say because Jesus was right. But Jesus did not say anything for himself like, "I'm innocent. You shouldn't be doing this to me. I'm the Son of God. Don't do this or you'll get in trouble." And he didn't say that. No, he didn't say that. He was like a lamb before the shearers. as John, he opened up his mouth. And there he was before Pilate, silent. He didn't speak up at times. You know, even to Pilate, he did speak up to the truth, and he told Pilate, he said, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of greater sin. That makes Pilate afraid, too. And he wanted to, let's get him out of this. Look, we don't want to deal with this guy. And Jesus had said the truth, you see. But he wasn't defending himself against going to the cross. He was just stating the truth about this being a sinful act to Pilate. Now, humble, gentle, meekness, sees what the powerful crowd do not see, that God ultimately is in control. Ultimately, God is in control of every situation, every circumstance. Personal wrongs that some do and that others endure, they are all under the allowance of God. They are all under the supervision and the permission of God. He's watching over and overseeing all that happens on the face of the planet. Now, that is a hard thing for us to understand. There are many mysteries in that. Why did this thing happen? It's so wrong. How could any good come out of this? You know? How could any good come out of Nazareth, they said? How could any good come out of many things? And yet, God brings good out of them. And God brings an equal balance at the end of all things. Now, the meek submit to God's will. God is over all. He's watching over. It is His will many times to allow certain things. The meek submit to His will as Jesus did. They submit to His will. Jesus knew that He would be vindicated by God by His resurrection. When He was resurrected, everything that He had said would be stamped of this is true. And you know, we also, on the day of our resurrection, we too will be vindicated for any injustices or injuries that were unjust, that were done to us, that we, you know, that people thought we were wrong or what, but and they may said things against us or said bad things about us and were not true. Well, they will all be seen. We will be vindicated when the last day comes at the end. But happy are we right now if we face those injuries or those wrongs with meekness? With meekness. There is a rest for our souls now if we rest our case with God, allowing God to handle the rest. You know? Well, how do we practice meekness? Well, we have a meek attitude first towards God. Before we ever have to deal with the meekness on earth, we have to deal, first of all, in our relationship with God, a meekness. It's a receptivity. It's a kind of just a, not bucking against God's word, but just receiving His revelation. Many are brought up in this planet, on this planet, brought up in families, brought up in society, in societies and cultures, to believe that everything our culture teaches is right. Everything our culture teaches, and everything that the popular theology teaches about God is right. And then the Word of God steps in and says, this is the revelation of God. And the meek say, oh, I receive that. Meekness allows that attitude or those ideas to be changed willingly and cheerfully, really. And great, now I know the truth. And those attitudes are changed. Sometimes that gets us into trouble when we believe the Bible against popular theology. You know, theology that is like politically correct. They say that's theologically correct, and it's not even proper biblical theology. Well, meekness is also, towards God, is a careful and sincere obedience to His commands. The word obedience in the Hebrew, but especially in the Greek, means to listen attentively, to the commands. And in that sense, what we're really doing is, what is God trying to teach me? What should I learn through this command? What is God trying to teach me about Himself through this command? That should be our question when we have this kind of attitude of meekness. Meekness towards God is a willing submission to the wisdom of His will. Father knows best. was a TV series that most of everybody probably in here has seen at least one or two of those episodes. But each week's episode had a plot that usually showed that the children, whatever they were doing and in planning or what, they were wrong, or they were failing in some way. But the father, what he had said before, turns out to be right. And father knows that every single time, right? I don't know if they ever failed on that, but that's usually the problem. Well, in real life, in this life, the father does know that. His will is the right one, is the right, the wisest choice, the wisest way to live. And the meek person never has to learn it the hard way. The meek person just accepts God's will and doesn't say, oh, I'll do it my way, and then find out later that father knows best. Well, finally, in our relationship with God, meekness is a patient acceptance, even of the worst adversity. And what could be the worst adversity? Probably the facing of death. When the Catholic priest Hermann Lanz was facing execution by the Nazis, he died at the same time that Dietrich Bonhoeffer died in a Nazi prison in Hamburg. Well, he wrote this in 1943, July the 11th, on the eve of his death. Personally, I am perfectly calm, facing steadfastly what is to come. When one has really achieved complete surrender to the will of God, there is a marvelous feeling of peace and a sense of absolute security. The gift we receive is so unimaginably great that all human joys pale beside it. That's the way to go out. I hope I can go out that way if I have to. Well, once we are submitted to the will of God, then and only then can we really be meek with other people around us. Not just with bearing the injuries that we have from them patiently, but forgiving them of those who commit those wrongs against us, as Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Having that attitude, if we'll just name that attitude, but also this, doing good. Going the second mile, not just saying, I will forgive it, but let's go beyond that. Doing good, not evil, in return. In other words, overcoming evil with good. Jesus said this, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Well, that covers it about all. Of anybody that does anything against us, we're supposed to do them good and not have that attitude, but a meek attitude. What is that attitude again? Not just humility, not just turning away and saying, oh, well, turning the cheek, but it's really getting up the cup, not turning the cheek, but you took my cloak, well, you can have my undergarment as well and go away naked. You know, that's heavy. That is totally heavy. So Jesus said, go the second mile, go beyond it. Do good to them. They're doing evil to you, overcome it with good. A truly meek attitude will result in a meek behavior. It really will. We have to say, this is not just something for our brain. This is something for our behavior. This is something for our action. And there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing. If we rest in God, God will take care of the rest throughout eternity as well as right now. So what is the reward of meekness throughout eternity and right now? Well, the rest that we find under Jesus' yoke of meekness brings a present peace. A present peace that is a rest for our soul. We can rest from our labor, in a sense, in the here and the now. And we don't have to struggle and fight back, but we can just rest and wait upon God. It is a perfect rest, a perfect peace that passes understanding. Those that are without meekness, who are easily ruffled and riled by the aggravations that come in life from people around them, they're constantly upset. They're constantly disturbed. They have no peace. They have no rest for their soul. But they're always at the mercy of those who trouble them, who disturb them. They're always at the mercy of those people. They can never have any rest because there's lots of those people around. You know, and it's going to be that way all through life. that you face these contentious people, or people that they inadvertently, they make a decision. Sometimes governmental people make a decision, and it takes in a whole group of people, and you're one of them. And they don't see you suffering. They just made a decision, and they didn't look at everything properly, maybe. Well, someday you will be vindicated. So right now, you can have peace and meekness. But there is a future blessing to this meek attitude as well. It says, they will inherit the earth. And that is the earth that is to be renewed at the second coming of Christ. You know, so right now, the world is really after the world. The people in the world, they want the things in the world. That's the big issue. Fame, fortune, and popularity, whatever they want things that are for the present time. But what we are looking at inheriting the earth is the earth that God transforms and changes. Those who are not at rest in God now will not be at home in the coming kingdom of God. Meekness prepares us for this coming heavenly kingdom on earth because it acknowledges right now that the King is already in control. Every time, every situation, God is already in control. Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth right now is under my control. So Jesus holds the reins. He allows certain things to go on as he continues the expansion of his kingdom on earth. But someday that expansion will stop. It will be over. And Jesus said, it's harvest time. It's time to bring in the wheat and the end of the garner, and we're going to plant that wheat in a whole new world. That's the earth that we will inherit. That's the earth that the meek will inherit. Blessed are the meek, for they will keep their souls. You know what it says in Mark. What is it good for a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul, to forfeit his own soul? Well, how happy and how blessed are the meek, for they keep their own souls in peace now, and at the end, they inherit everything else too. What a blessing. Father God, thank you for opening this passage to me, and I hope that it is open to everyone. Lord, that we see that we must totally rely upon you. Put our hearts in your hands. Lord, because sometimes we put our hearts and we connect it to our mouth or to our brain that just keeps constantly going over and over and over again a wrong that we have received, instead of having that meek attitude that waits upon you, that just gently answers back and in a lowliness of heart says, God, you are in control. I release this to you. I let go and let God in that situation. Lord, help us to do it. It is one of the best testimonies that we can have on the face of the planet, to be meek people. Help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.